Singapore is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love, divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Heavenly Father, we thank you truly, Lord, and thy word is true.
Amen.
Thy word is life. It's full of promises, O Lord, to those that are your children, Father. We thank you as a people here gathered this morning, looking, O Lord, to meet a certain, O Lord, the promises of God's word be fulfilled in our life. Being that it is ours to hold on to hold tight to, Father, in this hour that we live in, Lord. So, Father, as you approach you this morning now, open thy promised word, O God, to our understanding, to see where we stand indeed, O Lord, to see where we stand in as a family of God, as a child of God, Lord, as regarding, O Lord, life eternal in our relationship with you, Lord. We ask for your blessing now, Lord, as you approach it, Lord, that you open our understanding in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do you may be seated. I thank God, first of all, for the messages that Brother James had brought to us. Three simple, deep enough for every one of us to grasp. And I don't believe that the messages that he preached flew over anybody's head. And I believe every one of us enjoyed those messages.
Amen.
And just to tie up a little bit of what he said, I want to talk about this morning the works of the law versus the hearing of faith. There have always been a problem when people come to the word of the Lord, and especially when people comes to hold to a religion. When you hold to religion, you get into the spirit of being religious. You want to follow a certain rules or certain regulation or certain law, because it is a religion. It is something like a guide. There is always some kind of a book to guide you, a certain set of things that you have to fulfill when you hold on to a certain religion. And I believe every one of us knows that. There's all these traditional things that must be performed, so to speak, in our life, or to carry out a certain ritual. And so when we look at the Bible, we face the same problem. And I believe many of us, when we first came to the Lord Jesus, and when we are born again, we know that there is a quickening, a change. We are born again, and when we are born again, we get so thrilled.
Amen.
Because it is an experience that, you know, it's once only in a lifetime. So to speak. You get so thrilled. And then after that, when things settle down a little bit, then you begin to say, okay, now what must I do? Have I to do this? Have I to do that? So then when you go to a church, they tell you something about the word of the Lord. And then they talk about the law, they talk about the spirit of the word of God. And sometimes people do not understand what the Bible actually teaches, so much so that people got constrained by the law of God, as if there is a way that the Lord wants you to follow to the letters of the word. You understand what I'm saying? We are not holding on to the Bible as to the letters of the word. We are holding on to the word of God because of the spirit of life. And in this life, it will guide and set us free.
Amen.
So now, why you say, wow, how come doctrine is so important to us? You know, doctrine is teaching. The word doctrine means something, you know, doctrine is come from the word doctor. You know, it doctored our life. It sort of healed us. It is something that teaches us. You know, they say doctorate. You know, you go for a degree, theological doctrine, a sociological, or whatever doctrine. It means you have a certain subject that you learn. that you qualified, something that teaches you, guides you, something that you are in. So when we talk about doctrine, we're talking about a teaching, a set of teaching, a certain teaching. Now is teaching, biblical teaching important to us? It is important. But sometimes when people say, is doctrine that important? As comparing to say the doctrine and teachings of the Bible are different. They are not. They are the same thing. We just say the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible. Now, people can go away with the doctrines of God and say, well, this is not important at all as to regarding salvation or this and that. But we want to know this, I want to make you sure to let you know that the Bible are practically doctrines. Everything that's in the Bible, they are doctrine. It's a doctrine about God. It's a doctrine about salvation. It's a doctrine about eternal life. It's a doctrine about the Spirit of life. It's a doctrine about the Holy Spirit working in our life. It's a doctrine about what's going to come in the future. What will happen in the new age. These are all doctrine teachings that God wants us to understand. If God doesn't want us to understand, or we don't need to understand, then God would not have given us this 66 book. I said this many times. God would not have given us something for nothing. Do you understand? Now, but why is doctrine important? Now, let me say this. Doctrine is the Christian life as eggs out of omelette. You following me? Doctrines are the Christian life as engines out of plane or to a car. You know what I'm talking about? There is no omelette without egg. You understand? You cannot have omelette without egg. You cannot have a Christian life without doctrine. Do you understand? Our life is guided by not the doctrines of the letter of the word. I'm talking about the letter of the word. I'm talking about that doctrine as to the spirit of the life of the word. You can hold to the Bible and you can follow the letter of the word, and yet you fail to live the life of Christ. You can be as religious as you want to, but that's not what Christ wanted. That's for sure. You see, so as eggs are the ominous, doctrines are the Christian life, these are facts. You cannot change. Is that alright? And because it is factual, when we look into the Bible, we are not just saying, okay, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, but you need to have the faith. That's why we need this revelation. We need to have faith. Faith is something of which we have an understanding. Something that is revealed to us. We do not have blind faith, which many Christians have. If we have blind faith, not knowing what we believe, just like a Samaritan at the well. She worship, she doesn't know what. Jesus told her, you worship, you do not know what you are worshipping. And many today in Christianity, the same. They worship, they know not what. So let us approach the Word of God, basically as well to the law, as to the works of the law. And as to hearing of faith. And I believe you all mature now. As Brother James said, when I said, look here, Brother James, we're going to bring you over here, you're going to preach to us. The first time when he came, I think, what year was that? 3 years back? 1999. And he was a bit nervous, so the speaker said, wow, sweeping Brother Gunn's church, and these people are all already well versed in the word, you know. But that is what he feels about it, because, and I believe it's true that God has given us here a fellowship that we all have indulged ourselves in the Word of God. We are indulging ourselves in the life of the Word of God. That's why the things of the Word or the spiritual things of God become more treasured in our life. It become opened up to us. Amen. More revealed to us, to our understanding. Why we stand in God's sight and where we are going and what is going to happen when we see the things unfold before us. And true enough that we have this precious Word of God before us, let us look a little closer again this morning as to the law. Let us go to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He always loves us.
Amen.
He never forsakes us.
Amen.
We may feel sometimes that God doesn't care about us when we are down and out. But you know, we always feel that when things go wrong, we always feel that God doesn't care about us. But when things go right, thank you Lord, we join and we shout. You know, we cannot always drop on the mountain. That's not fair. We got to go down to a valley sometime. You always get to the mountain, you know, they say, you got to cross valley and hills to go to the highest peak.
Amen.
You know. And when we go through a valley, God is never out of our sight. I mean, his eye is always focusing on us. As King David said, down in the hell, he did that. Whatever I am, he did that. His hand is not so short that he cannot save it. You see, because if we are his, he cannot forsake us. If we are his, no man can pluck him out of our hand. I mean, pluck us out of his hand.
Amen.
No way. You see. So we know that he loves us. And Paul said, he loved me, who loved me and gave himself for me. He used it as, not for us, he didn't use the word us, but he doesn't talk about himself being a prisoner. You see. So now he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, here we have, of course, but once you're a Christian, regardless of what denomination you go to, basically, the preacher will say, okay, you are set free. You are free. Now you are a child of God. Your sins are all forgiven. Right? But then sometime they'll come along and say, you should not do this. You should not do that. You should not do this. You should not do that. That is very basic. For example, cover not thy neighbor's wife. For example. You know what I mean? Don't steal. Don't lie. It's, of course, it's a simple, don't do this, don't do that. It's very simple, we know that. We don't have to let somebody tell us. The moment that you are born again, automatically, out of it, instantly, you know that these things are wrong. If you are a cheater, a liar, maybe you are a, what we call that, a shoplifter. You take things from the, you know, from some supermarket and put your pocket and walk out. You know, automatically when you are a child of God, you are born again, you have a conscience, the Holy Spirit speak to you, this thing you don't do. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to tell, you don't go to the pastor and say, can I continue doing what I'm doing? You won't ask that silly question, would you? Can I continue to lie, to cheat, things like that. Automatically the Spirit of God works in your life, because if he is life-giving, he must change you completely. You understand that? So Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Grace, we are all saved by the grace of God because of that gift of faith that God gave to us.
Amen.
By grace are you saved through faith. But not of yourself, it is a gift of God.
Amen.
Now if God don't give us this faith by his grace, we will not see the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So we have a lot of people in the world can read the newspaper or maybe sometimes the news, whatever it is, article here and there. There are people who say, I've been searching for the meaning of life. And then they end up being a Buddhist. I've been searching for the meaning of life. And then they end up in India, wear a saffron robe, end up somewhere in the mountain and meditate. You understand this? You see. Even though this world is searching, say, I have looked through Christianity, I have looked to Buddhism, I have looked to this, they end up something else. You see. But only the Lord God could give you the grace to see. If you are a child of His to begin with, from the foundation of the world, when God looks at the heart, He knows how you will respond. When He gives you this faith, this grace, and the further revelation of who Jesus is and who you are, then when He triggers it, then you respond. So with that grace, Paul says, I don't frustrate it. I don't go and you know, bring anything that brings shame to this grace that God gave me. I live by it. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I kept the law before. I kept all the commandments, all the Levitical law, I do all the rituals, everything. And he said, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ's death is in vain. It is Christ who died for our sin. We have nothing to do with the salvation of God. It's God's free will to bring about that propitiation of His only begotten Son for our sin. Do you understand? Now let's continue now to the next chapter. O foolish Galatian, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now this Christian in Galatia, it's a mixed group of people though. They are Jews, they are Gentiles there. Paul preached to them the gospel. They believe the gospel. But you know, there's always some preachers that go around as Paul said, when I'm gone, some, you know, there's always wolves coming in to deceive. There will always be preacher like this. Wandering stars kind of preachers too. And I believe this and I say this all the time. And I always challenge those who dare to dispute about the Word of God. God had a purpose all day before the foundation of the world. He has set His course. He will never change His Word. God never changed His mind about His Word. He will never change it. Do you understand? From the very beginning He said, when I'm going to give my Son as an atonement for sin, He will never back it up. He will never back out. I mean, He will back up the fact that He would do it. So when the fullness of time was come, God was born, He had to die. And if God said that He's going to have a people, a church, ecclesias, the people caught out from the world, He's going to perfect them and He's going to take them to His kingdom in the sky, you can rest assured that if He said that He's going to be perfected by a ministry, as according to the book of Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry, nobody can say, I can be perfected without that. Mm-hmm. If He can, the idea is, with God a liar or He's a liar. And if He's a liar, He pays God in judgment. I don't care what He can say that He's born again. If you are born again, you can never speak things contrary to the Word of God. Amen. That's why I challenge that brother. Oh, we can stay home and listen to the tape. Oh. I said, you can get in the rapture because of that. So, but where do we go for fellowship? In Singapore, there are places to go. Ah, well, don't agree with everybody else. Well, he does not agree with everybody. So he is only, you know, writing his own opinion. He agrees only with himself. If God has set a ministry, you better look for it. Amen. You better know where you're going. The body of Christ has a ministry. And even in the days of Paul was alive, you know the people out there in Ephesus, the little group out there? They were just by themselves. They didn't know anything. They were just to, while they believed in John's baptism and John's gospel, being baptized to receive the one who was to come the Messiah. And they were there. They were an elected group, a church. And you know what? God has to take Paul and put him there. And Paul has to go there and tell them, you know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Amen.
Nope, they never heard of it. They never know nothing about the Holy Spirit. They're not doing what? Then were you baptized? Or unto John's baptism? Unto repentance and the wonder who's to come we will receive? You see, they were lost in the place. They have no idea about what truth is. But because all they are sinning before God, they have a spirit, a heart that can receive the word of God. So what? God take hold of them. Explain to them. Oh, when they heard it, they can receive it. They will be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they receive the Holy Ghost baptism. You see, they were not even having the Holy Ghost as yet. And yet their heart was out to receive it. And here we have a people, where in the church world today, besides different, in the entire message, everybody is very, very cocksure. But they are right in the thing that they believe in. You can only be right if it is the Word of God. You can only be right if it is in the Word. Let me say this. On my mother's side, I think it's, we will say, my second cousin, twice removed, or whatever you call it now, very well-known preacher in Singapore, in a Presbyterian church, very well-liked by many people. The incident of a case, of course, way back then, when somebody wants to get baptized, and told him and said, could you baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Acts 2:38? Now he being from a Presbyterian, being a Trinitarian, he preached at Pentecostal as a gift of faith, exercising demons of those who are influenced or possessed. Heard Brother Abraham's book, apparently Pentecostal-like in the way he preached. But when the question was put to him, could you baptize me according to Acts 2:38? Well, he said, I would have to find out whether I could do that. I would have to go and ask my church board. So went to the church board, came back and told the man, sorry, I can't. It will contravene my church creeds and dogma. So this creeds of our faith, so to speak. Now think about this. You know the truth and you don't do it. What do you think God is going to do with you? Son of Abraham said it is sin if you know the right thing to do and don't do it. It is sin to you. And some will say, well, you know where will be alright. Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:8, whichever way you baptize, that's okay. Hey, it is not okay. There's only one way. There's only one way to God. And there's only one way to put on the name of God. And what a baptism, you put on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a triune title. So what do we have? The church has come with the law. Well, you look at the Old Testament, you have the law. You in the Old Testament, right from the very beginning. Before there was law given, there was grace. Law was never given until Mount Sinai. All the Ten Commandments, and that which Levitical law came in Levitical law, all that came in when Moses was around. Prior to that, all those men, they lived by the word of God. Abraham, there was no law. Abraham was given grace. He was imputed righteousness because he believed God. But when the law came, well, do you know what? What was the law given for? There was a carrier. There was a purpose that he was a carrier. To take the children of Israel and keep them within this framework until the Messiah comes. Do you understand? The law was simple enough. It's very simple to follow. Do all that and then do all that which is necessary in worship. When you approach God, you need the lamb or two feather doves and every other thing. But bring all these things all this law were shadows of what was to come. All these rituals, all this form of worship were shadows of what was to come. But you know, after generation passed, Israel, because of the religious elder, the rabbi, all began to subscribe to some kind of law other than the law of Moses. They began to read into it something else. They began to read into the law something else. Now why have you not remembered Jesus Christ day? The Pharisee was saying, oh, you're a disciple. Then they wash hand before they eat. Is that right? You know? Where did they come from? Why did they come? Why did they? How did they? Because they read in, they read it. There is something of that sort of interpretation into some part of God's word. Some part of the law. Do you see? So when they do this, they make the word of God no effect. Completely no effect at all. And the church, when the church came in, again the law is still there. And today we have so many denominations, and every denomination has some sort of law. Huh? Now here we are, we don't have law, you know. Remember this, we don't have law here. We only have order in worship. As far as we come to the Lord in the house of God, we have order in worship. But as for the law, we don't have anything to tell you, thou shalt not. But we have the law, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the law to you. He's the lawgiver. He's the law. He's the judge of your life. He's your guide. He doesn't judge you immediately. He's your guide. So we must begin to understand the difference. Now look at this over in Galatians here. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. They had already been born again. But somebody came in and said, oh, you must be circumcised. Is circumcision is a sign of being born again? You see, in the Old Testament, it's a circumcision of the foreskin. But the Bible also told us in the book of Old, in the Old Testament, the prophet of God is going to circumcise the heart. Right. He's no longer going to write on a piece of stone that the law of God, but he's going to write in your heart. The law of God given by Moses on tablets of stone, right? And that which Paul gave to Moses. So okay, you must circumcise the firstborn before you come out, when you come out of Egypt and so forth and this and that and that. Everybody follow it. But it's only the flesh. Circumcision of your flesh will do you no good. Because there's nothing good in the flesh. The flesh is sin. So God has to circumcise your heart. Nobody, what is it, circumcise the heart? How do you circumcise the heart? It's a pleasure to me to say spiritually. Because our spirit rests, resides, is in the heart. Not in the mind. Not in your head. Where does Holy Spirit live? In your heart. Paul and King David say, by what all have I hid in my heart? Have I kept in my heart? They may not sin against you. God lives in our heart. So in order for God to live in the heart, He must first circumcise your heart. Remove the old man and give it a spirit of life. You have a rebirth. And then you sit in that heart of yours. So somebody come around, I'm already born again. Now you're telling me I have the spirit of life, I'm a guide by the spirit. Now you're telling me that I have to circumcise in the flesh? Paul says, receive you the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now, we have, we talk about this entire message. I believe that there is no other message other than what was given to us in this hour. A restoration of the bride of Christ back to the whole Word of God. Huh? Remember the seed? You plant a mango seed. Sure, after a while, the seed comes out of the earth into a shoot and a tassel. They keep on growing, growing, and then you will have branches, and then you will have leaves. Is that right? Branches, leaves, they are part of the seed. But they are not the seed. Brother James used the title, be you fruitful. Huh? Be ye fruitful. What is fruitful? We hear the word fruitful, fruit is there, so we think about fruit. Isn't that right? Fruitful means to, well, to bring forth a result. Your children are the fruit of your wedding, your marriage. Isn't that right? Huh? Your children are your fruit. You understand? You see, so fruit means a result. You can go to a plantation or go to a man who is a orchid grower. He exports orchid. He planted rows and rows of orchid seedling. Month after month, you see the orchid grew. There was no fruit just yet. There's no flower. He's going to export the orchids anywhere the flower. So when it blooms, they say, oh, now I'm fruitful. My nursery is fruitful. Fruitful has the flowers. What has the fruits? You understand this now. So now when we talk about the seed, you know, God has brought us back to this word. The church grew up from the very beginning. Seed form grew, began to multiply. So what happened in the right ages? It went right, the seed went right down to the ground. Back to the earth itself. Because men have brought in their own laws and creeds and traditions and so forth. And that's what the Catholic Church has destroyed, that which God has planted. It looks like it's gone. The church is nothing but an outward shells of beauty, of architecture. But the step of life went right back to the roots, right into the ground. Until the Reformation. Now God is going to bring that fruit, that seed back to the ground. So when we see that the tree began to come forth, whether we see a flower, it's not a flower, it's a mango, that is not the fruit. Is that alright? But only after pollination takes place, then we have the mango. Now mango in itself is a fruit. But what God is interested in is not the flesh that you eat. It's in that seed. It must beget its own kind. So if you are born of the Word of God, if you are born of the Spirit of God, you will show the same kind. Huh? You have to reflect what God intended you to reflect of your original seed. So you go back to the Word. That's why we go right back to the Word. Do you understand? And that's what we have. If we have the Word of God as our own, now we are restored back to this Word. If you are restored back to this Word, you cannot speak any otherwise. You cannot speak anything other than this Word. But what we have now, we have a lot of people around the world. Yes, we believe in the message that God has given us through a great man, a great prophet. But you know one thing? The trouble is, there have become too much law. Over the years, with our internet website, I have a lot of mails too here that comes in. And when they read what we wrote, and many of them, of course, said, yeah, I'm so glad, you know, many churches that I have been to, they are so taken up by the laws. Laws they have created. Oh, Brother Branham said. You know that?
Yes.
Brother Branham doesn't have a TV. Oh, you don't have a TV. How can it be? You're not believers. You're not believing what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham just threw a TV out of the window. Brought up with a shotgun. Well, you know, you tell them, yes, Brother Branham did not have a TV. But he goes over to his brother Doc Branham and watched TV. How do you know, Brother Jan? So, Brother Branham, how do I know? I know because I've been there. people who are members of the brother, of the family, they told me what actually happened. And they don't believe it because they think as long as it's not in the solemn book, it is not true. But you tell them, oh, you know Brother Ben in the sermon when he preached, he said, oh, do you remember the news on the television, on that news media, on that particular day? How did the Brother Ben know about it? Oh, no, no, he didn't watch the news. He actually had a vision of a television with the news broadcasting on it in front of him. So he had a vision of news broadcast. You believe all these things that people would create just to be religious. You go to the house, I have no television, but I have a lot of pictures of Brother Ben on the wall. See, I'm a believer of this great prophet. You see how religious people can get up to so much. And they will judge you because you have a television. They will even judge you if you drive a Mercedes down. Or if you have a BMW or a Volvo. So you must be simple. Hey, if I'm a businessman, I'm not. But if I'm a businessman, if I'm a millionaire, so what's wrong with driving a Volvo? I mean, what's wrong with driving a Volvo if I'm a businessman, am I? I mean, it's, in the business way, it's an image. Is it alright? Sure. Very few people will go out there, of course, driving a... If you are a business multimillionaire, you go out there in a little match car, a little more, maybe ride a motorcycle like me. But some people say, I cannot believe the bad guy, you ride a motorcycle, I expect you to drive a car. What's wrong with the image of a motorcycle? To some, it's an image of the hippie days, you know, the Harley Davidson, this wild bunch of people in America running around motorcycle. They think that's what it is. When you have a standard of a law in yourself, that's only to yourself. Don't bring your law and judge somebody else. Isn't it right? You don't. You know, Brother was given a check of $1 million. He said, I don't need it. He came back. He don't need the money. He was given a new car. I can't remember what car it was. He said, what's wrong with my old station wagon? He didn't even want the car. You see? So now let me ask you, my God, if I give you a new Chevrolet, would you want it? A Mercedes, but you're so grubby, don't you? Don't tell me you don't want it. So you don't say, oh, I don't need it. No, I'm not going to buy it. My old car will do. A lot of people try to imitate. Now, that's not imitation. Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. Spiritual thing that you have to know. Don't come with all that your own laws. When you, because of what Abraham said, you take it in every way. And by thinking, by doing everything that Brother Abraham do, because he doesn't do this, therefore you won't do that. You know, Brother Abraham drank distilled water? And there's only, I think, for the third time I was told that he drank distilled water. Somebody told me that. I said, yeah, so? Hey, we should be drinking distilled water. So try to go there, try to tell that to those people in India and Africa. Here we can buy distilled water, but how much can you do? Drink distilled water every day. Cook with distilled water every day. That's not the way it goes. You understand that? Like two men came from, I can't remember, I think they came from New Zealand or Australia one time. Somebody brought him to, brought them to me, and we had a discussion of talk. And you know what? He says, you know, we should not drink coffee and tea. He says, why? Because it contains caffeine. The caffeine is a drug. And the Bible said the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, and what? There's a law. You don't make the law. And there are a lot of things that we don't take. You know what I mean? There are a lot of things that we eat. Actually, they are drugs too. Think about it, whether it's true. You see, every chemical in the earth is actually a drug in itself. Try not to take magnesium, see what happens. Huh? Try not to take zinc and see what happened to you. When they come up with that idea, they are being religious. You understand? They don't have the spirit of life. Paul said, whatever is laid before you, eat. Eat. But if you don't want it, don't mind. Don't say, oh, I cannot eat this. Oh, Christian cannot eat this. Christian cannot eat this. Christian cannot eat pork. Christian cannot eat. Just as a Seventh Day Adventist. No pork. No crab. No prawns. I will die without that. No crab. I mean, just think about those things. What they are bringing in the law, isn't it? They are bringing all those law in. What do we have today? Well, no blood, that's what the denomination taught. No blood. Put off what the idol you cannot take. But Paul said, what's wrong with the idol? That's nothing. You see? So we don't have any law that binds us. It's only the law of the life of Christ that binds us. If the law of life of the Word of God is not in us, then we do not know how to act and live the way that God wants us to live. We are set at liberty. There's no set law to govern us. It's only the Spirit that constrains and guides us. Is anybody constrain us? We go in the direction we should not be going, just like the parent tells us, you see what I mean? You must be going there, boy! That's the Spirit of God is tugging you. Don't do that. He's constraining you. Do you understand? You see. And He guides you the way He wants to lead you. So we don't have a certain law what to do, what to do, what to do. If you don't want to bring you help, that you have a problem. And all those things that were in the Old Testament, the law, the Levitical law, all those ceremonies that the children of Israel had to keep them every year, every time, every week or every month when this festival comes in. And I'm glad that we don't have to. I'm glad we don't have to, because why? Christ fulfilled it all. All the law that was contrary to us has been nailed to the cross. You know that, don't you? Every law that is contrary to us is taken and nailed to the cross. So we don't have to take a lamb now and kill it. So we have to all dressed up, ready to go with the hand starving on the table, or even sitting around like they did in the old time, the pastor. We don't have to. And if we have sinned against the Lord, we don't have to bring two to the dove. Huh? Two to the rabbi. Or to the pastor says, please, you know, sacrifice this for me, and I have to build a fire for you. And then you will have to ask for repentance. No, we don't have to. Well, we have it all been done by Christ. You approach Christ, God for forgiveness through Christ Jesus. He done it all for you. And that's why the hearing of faith is so important. Do we have the understanding? Do we have the revelation? People can sit in our Brother Abraham's meeting week after week, and yet they don't hear faith. When Paul preached, it is faith that goes out. When Brother Abraham preached, it is faith that goes out. But how do the people hear? Instead of hearing the Word of God, we are hearing the law. And when you hear law, you are in trouble. Do you understand? Just because Brother Abraham said, you know, if you have a television, blow it off. There is a reason why he said it. There are many things he said it. And he have a reason for saying it. I don't believe in mixed marriage. Oh. You hear the word? Did you hear it right? Did you hear it right? Yes, I heard it right. An Indian man cannot marry a white woman. Is that what Brother Randy meant? A brown cannot marry the yellow. Is that what Brother Randy meant? Yeah, but he said mixed marriage, see? Mixed marriage, see? I see, but do you? That is a question. Today, until today, there's still a lot of confusion. I still get letters trying to ask me the same question. And I put it on the internet. I told them, go, read it. You understand it? They're bringing some law because God said it, and they don't understand why He said it. The problem you have when a white man is a black, you have a half. You know what a half and half is? You have a brow, almost. Yes. I know you have a problem in your society in America. But today, nobody winks an eye now. In our society, you can see very common in Singapore. A Chinese going out with a white lady, or an Indian go out with a white lady, or a Chinese marry an Indian, or is, you know, it's just colored. It's just colored. Oh, but Brother Branham said, to keep it in his own kind. You know what I mean? I say, yes, of course. You see, the Bible said, this made by the own kind. So Chinese will be for Chinese, Indian will be for Indian. Yes, I know, own kind. I'm only one kind, you're only single, you're all human kind. It's not a cat and a dog. You understand? It's not a hybrid of a cat and a dog. That is not the same kind. But we are all the same kind, we are human kind. So no, Chinese want the Chinese. I said, okay now. Did God care white roses? Yes. And the red roses? Yes. But where did the pink come from? Where did the pink roses come from? Oh, God care pink by itself. Ah, that's interesting, you see. That's why we have so many varieties after the flood. Three sons from Noah, and we have so many races today. We have so many races. You call them all. So many races. Where do you get that from? So same kind. It's just what we eat and where we live. Things evolve. All the dust and the grow. See? So they would just continue and they continue. I said this before and I say this once again. But that is life in the world. The world is life, you know that? It's life in the world, but you see, if you don't know how to look at the light that is in the Lord, you die. You take a seed, as I said, you take a seed, you know, the brother over in Zimbabwe, he says, Brother God, when you come to Zimbabwe, bring me this mango seed. You know, that mango there is usually round, it's almost round. But I told them we had this flat, long, pattern mango. So yeah, Brother God, bring for me. So, in fact, I bought some and then eat it out and dry it, you know, that is flat. Hopefully, then it will grow. You understand what I mean? So of course you take a seed. You look at a seed. Boy, it looks dried up. This thing is a dead thing. How can it grow, man? You know what you think about it? The people who are not farmers, who doesn't know anything about seed, you look at this. This thing is hopeless. It's already dried up. How can it grow? But that's life in the seed. That's the fact, isn't it? You get a corn, a wheat, or whatever you ever see. You look at it. It may look like there's nothing there. But there's life in it. How do you know what to do with it? That's the thing. You see, there's life in the law. But it is death for those who don't know what to do with it. Then it becomes death to you. See, they said that you can give man an education. But if he doesn't know how to treat himself, when in times of droughts or in times when there is bad economy, whatever it is, what can he do to feed himself? When he has no job. But give a man some seed. Now a farmer will know what to do. Now I gotta tell you one thing, if somebody give me some seed, different kinds of seed, I don't know what to do with it. But they give it down to Brother James Berimo, he know what to do with it. I would die with those seeds in my hand. Because I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to plant it. You think just planting that water, the plant will go probably die off too. But the farmer knows what to do with it. Do you understand this now? That's what you know about we believer of the Word of God. We need to understand what this Word of God is all about. If we mishandle this, we're in trouble. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. You see, that's why people say they think they keep the law. But then said no TV. Brother said, no miscarriage. You know what they did? You know what they're doing? Share what you read here. The single sin is the law. The law, you're already killed by the law. Because you don't even know how to use it, or how to look at it. You're trying to apply law to yourself. How can you make the love of Christ? You frustrate the grace of God. You frustrate the grace of Christ. Because you are thinking that by keeping the law you bring in righteousness. Then the righteousness of God is not in you. You are trying to fulfill it by your own flesh. Amen. And that's where the danger lies. Huh? We preach what the Word of God says, to preach the truth. It's for each individual one of you to live the way God wants you to live. I don't have to go, okay, every one of you here on my floor, I must go into a house, you're visiting a house, surprise, visit, I'll give a surprise visit. Do you know what I mean, a surprise visit? See, whether you have been behaving right or not, and whether you're cleaning at home or whatever it is, what does it have to do with me? Do you understand this now? Or somebody comes to a place and starts to scream like this, and something is wrong with the person tonight. We are just a no man. God is the judge. People think having a key in the house is a sin. There are some that went to extreme. Even the newspaper is of the devil. Because it's a devil's Bible. Every day reports what happened yesterday. What the devil has been doing. So they call it the devil's Bible too. So why are you reading the devil's Bible every day? They ask you. Huh? So if you are a law, you are a law to yourself. Back to Galatians just now. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun the spirit, you are now perfected by the flesh? Impossible, of course. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If he yet be in vain. He therefore that minister unto you the spirit, and work miracles among you, would he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believe. You can't believe without a revelation. Abraham believed God because he saw. The third brother was trying to tell every one of us here. When you look at the seed, he sees what's ahead. They don't just see the seed. When you take somebody give you a mango seed, you look at the seed, you're not just looking at that seed. You're looking at trees, you're looking at fruits, the thing that will come out of it. What's going to come out of your product? Huh? Oh, Abraham must tell you, I'll be a father of many nations. I'll make you a father of many nations. That one seed? Abraham saw it all. Not only father of nations, but he saw the Holy City in New Jerusalem. He saw it all by revelation, because he believed God. Do you understand that? And because of that, he was imputed to him for righteousness. When we began to believe God, as God show us, the more that we can see, we will be hindered if we do not want to hear the word of God. I'm afraid to go to a church to hear the word of God. Then when you're afraid to go to a church to hear the word of God, then you know what happened? You are limiting the flow of the Spirit of God to impart to you that knowledge. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture for saying that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in this all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faith with Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the books of the law to do them. You see that? Yes, then. For many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Ah. You try to do the word? Brother Ben said, I shouldn't have given, I don't have given. So look yourself so righteous, you know. And you are under curse because you didn't fulfill all the other law. Did you? Could you? Could anybody fulfill all the law? You understand? Don't talk about what Brother Abraham said. If you want to go all to the law and see whether you could fulfill it. Is that alright? Sure. We are condemned every day by the flesh that we live in. If you do not have the Spirit of life in you, it's true. You wake up in the morning, what do you think about yourself? Or you go to bed at night because of the day that you have done, the work that you have done, what do you think about yourself? You know that Spirit worked in your life. So, oh my goodness, today I really was grouchy, I was angry. You go to bed, if you're having a bad day, you'll be fighting with your colleague or your boss, whatever it is, or you drive down the road and you say, you decomposed, but I don't know how to drive, get out of my way. You get all frustrated, you know what I mean? You go to bed, you know the Spirit will deal with your mind. What Spirit will deal with the Spirit. You feel how it is, so that the flesh is nothing good. But when you are the Spirit of the Lord, you don't get condemned. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you are in that state because, you know, you're still in the flesh to work, you know, you're still living in that flesh, but let the Spirit take a hold of you and walk in it. That's why the Spirit there of God is there to guide. You make a mistake, He'll just tell you, convict you. So don't bring any law now. Alright? When we see the work of God, the word of the Lord, the law of God, we see life in it. We don't see death in it. And when we see life in it, then we know that that life was fulfilled when Christ fulfilled all the law and bring life to us. Because that law, the law actually is a letter of the word that killeth. But the Spirit of God giveth life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. And we are close to that with another verse or two. 2 Corinthians 3:6. When I make us able minister of the New Testament, not the letter, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now the word Spirit here is Greek, is pneuma. Pneuma, you know pneuma? In English, in the Hebrew word is rock. Now in pneuma, Greek word pneuma, you know what pneuma? Pneuma means air, spirit, wind. And you know pneumatic drill? You know pneuma? Pneumatic drill? That's where the result comes from. Pneuma, spirit, air, life. Those are power, you know. But that's all air. Listen, you know, just supply, you know, that's what they do. And it goes dig. And that's, you know what, the Spirit gives us life because it digs into our heart. The Bible said the Spirit of God shuts all things. The letter killeth, but the Spirit of God shuts all things and guides us. You see how good that is? The word is in this pneuma, Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which follow after the law of righteousness have not attained to the law of righteousness. You can keep the law as much as you want, but you still never attain righteousness. But the Gentiles had it, right? Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. That's why the Jew failed. They still hold to the law. And I can tell you many, those who follow this entire message will fail to make it in. I can tell you that. Because what? They saw it not the faith. They look at what Paul Abraham said without a revelation. Time and time again, Paul Abraham preached. And people can sit there and still not knowing what the message is all about. It's so simple. And yet it flew over people's head. The gospel itself is so simple. The gospel of salvation is so simple to the sinners. And yet many sinners just shake their head. How can I be saved just by believing in Jesus Christ being the Son of God? What a man having to hang upon a cross had to, how can he give me life? They can question this and that, this and that. Huh? Because they saw them not by faith. But as it were by the works of the law. See, they don't have the revelation. They didn't see or search for it by faith. They just do what the law said. Oh, the prophet said this, the prophet said that, the prophet said this, the prophet said the law said this, the law said that. And they do it, they carry, do it, they have to do it. Right? You think they make it? That's the reason why sometimes you see on the news some of those Tibetans that crawl on the road to go to the servant's shrine, you know, on the road, they roll and they roll and they roll, or in during the Holy Weeks in the Philippines, they whip themselves, and they think that this, they're going to attain righteousness. No one can save us. And as far as this message is concerned, God has put us back in the world. Now let's take the world. Otherwise, we are worse off than those who never had this message. Do you know that? Alright, let's finish it up. For they stumble at their stumbling stone. And it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, the rock of offense. And whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I better record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See that? A zeal. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh yes, a lot of people in this and that message, they tell the preachers. A lot of preachers in this and that message, more than any preachers in denomination. They have a zeal, but they don't have a knowledge of the word. They only can say, oh, the prophet said it, the prophet said it. They bring in all those wrong. They think that that is all that is about it. Believe Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Baptism in Jesus' name. Believe it. Someone say, believe it. They think that's all there is to it. And they bring all that thing, you know, they fail. And they are cursed. They are under a curse when they bring in the law. And truly now I can say this to you, the same thing. Not only what Israel did, but what the people who follow his name and message, they are doing exactly the same thing. They bring in a bunch of all these laws, and they think they can attain righteousness. They think they can stand before God and say, Lord, I did exactly what the prophet of God said. But the thing is, do they understand? Do they have the knowledge? The knowledge is of the devil. Education is of the devil. See, some people will come out with this. My God is very intellectual. He is full of knowledge. Yes, sir. Are you all not? You've got to have the knowledge of the word of God. People have no knowledge of God, and that's why they perish. Before, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is knowledge. You cannot have wisdom if you don't attain to knowing what the Bible says. Because by knowing what the Bible says, then you can apply wisdom. And I pray the Lord bless all of you. Let us remember this. We obtain righteousness by the faith that God gives us. By what we know that God has revealed to us concerning His Son. And it's all revolved around the Son of God. Everything that the Bible talks about, everything, revolve around this Logos that was manifest in the flesh. And it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We ask for your grace, Lord, that what has been preached, Father, what has been shared. The Lord, we continue, Father, to uphold that precious word. We're not here, Father, having heard the message that was given through the prophet, Lord, and then just go along with the flow of the majority. You have called us, Father, for one purpose, that we will fulfill thy word which you have ordained before the foundation of the world. That which you have spoken, O God, must come to pass. The seed which has already been given, buried, resurrected again, they have been for much fruit. And if we are the fruits of that one seed, then that seed of which God's word remain in us. And we will manifest like wise, O Lord, to live according to the guiding of the Spirit of God in our life. Father, we thank you. I ask that you bless everyone today now. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name.